of my life. He is Lord over our nation. We declare Jesus King of the nations. His word belongs to me. His word gives me life. His spirit dwells in me. I connect with him by the Spirit of God. His word is precious to me. Now, I believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. His word is precious. His word is holy. And his word gives life. Hallelujah. I want to share with you this morning some things that I believe is crucial to the body of Christ and understanding the ways of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven or how the kingdom of heaven works. And I will say that just to hear about the way the kingdom of heaven works, the way the kingdom of God works, just to hear about it will not help us at all. Because hearing about the kingdom does us absolutely no good without putting into practice the things that we hear. So we want to share some things, some principles about how to move forward as a body of believers in our own lives for the future that lies ahead of us. I want to start with a scripture that Jesus spoke about his own word very clearly. He did say that his words were spirit and they are life. John 6:63 said, "It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. I've kind of titled this message, "Confession Brings Obsession." Confession brings obsession. And obsession meaning the domination of one's thoughts or feelings by a persistent idea, image, or desire. It means that we begin to think about it all the time. We begin to creep into every part of our life. Confession brings obsession. Obsession, in this sense, being a good thing, meaning that the things that we think about when it comes to the kingdom of God, become so intertwined into our lives that we don't do anything without bringing the kingdom of God into consideration, bringing the word of God into consideration. I mentioned this before. Sir Isaac Newton was once asked, "How did you discover the law of gravity?" And he said, "Very simple. I thought about it all the time." It became an obsession with him to understand the law of gravity. And the more he thought about it, the more revelation was given. And that is a principle in the kingdom of God. The more we talk about and think about things, the bigger they become in us, the more revelation they become in us. If we talk about the word of God a lot, when we meet one another, if we mention the things of God, we talk about what God is doing, we talk about the word of God, that becomes bigger in us. Do you ever notice when at the end of the year, when the hockey tournaments are going on and the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are on, and people who are right into it, maybe most of them are never into it very much all the year, but it comes to the very end, and that's all that's talked about on media and sports and so forth, you start to have an opinion too. You start to talk about it a little bit too. And so it becomes bigger. The more we talk about things, the bigger they become. Confession brings obsession. So just decide what you want to be obsessed with, and then talk about it. Decide the things that you want to be obsessed with and then begin to talk about it. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven." If you confess me before men, do you want Jesus to talk about you to the Father? Do you want Jesus to make mention of your name to the Father in heaven? Well, the way we do that, the way we can accomplish that, is talk about Jesus to other men and women around us. It's as simple as that. The kingdom of God, functioning in the principles of the kingdom of God, is not difficult. Actually, they're very simple. All we need to do is do them. Let me talk about a couple of things concerning our confession and concerning the things that come out of our mouth. Proverbs verse Chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Then life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wow, that is really powerful. The Message translation puts it this way: words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I like that. You choose. You make a decision what's going to come out of your mouth. You make a decision what's going to come your way, either life or death. You are the one who makes that decision. Nobody else can make that decision for you. You choose life or death, blessing or cursing. Proverbs 18:7, it says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." What we say can bring life and death to the soul realm. Very clearly, some of the things that comes out of our mouths can bring life or death to the soul realm. Sometimes when you hear some bad news, sometimes you listen to some bad news, and you know, you're up pretty good, and you listen for a while, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, I was pretty in a pretty good mood before I was listening to this, but now it seems like I've been taken way back. It seems like, boy, I got to get alone and pray. I got to read God's word. I got to get God's word into me, because I have to contradict that bad news that is coming my way. You see, harsh words can bring death to the soul, but good words can also bring life to our soul as well. Proverbs 10:20 says, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver." So when we speak righteously, it is like gaining choice silver. Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. You can use your tongue to be a soul winner, declaring that you are a soul winner. You might say, you can use your tongue by being a soul winner, and so I can tell others about Jesus continually. Well, before you ever begin doing that, you should start speaking to yourself that you're a soul winner. You should start talking to yourself that you are a soul winner. When you talk about that, it will become an obsession to you. And then you'll never miss an opportunity to talk about Jesus to somebody else. Deuteronomy chapter 30:19 says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your children might live." It is with the tongue we choose life and death. And we're not only choosing life and death for ourselves personally, but also for our children. What a responsibility. We choose life and death by what comes out of our mouth, not only for ourselves, but for our children as well. You know, we do many things for our children. This is a very important one. Watch what comes out of our mouth, because we are setting the course for life and death for our children. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm just reading these scriptures because I want you to see the pattern through scripture of how the tongue can speak life and death into us, or how the tongue can declare our future. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, have to use your tongue there, don't you? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Wow, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You use your tongue even to enjoy the salvation of God. You use your tongue to enjoy life that comes from God. You use your tongue to get you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Choose life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Philip Yancey said, "I have a sneaking suspicion that David wrote the Psalms as a form of spiritual therapy, a way of talking himself into faith when his spirit and emotions were wavering. And now, centuries later, we can use those very same prayers as steps of faith, a path to lead us from an obsession with ourselves to the actual presence of our God." I like that. He said he believed that David wrote the Psalms using them as a way of talking to himself. You see, we talk to a lot of people, but the most important person that we should talk to is ourselves. when it comes to having change take place in our lives. Oh, Pastor, I've been this way for so long, I don't ever see that it's ever going to change. Well, you're talking to yourself. When you say those words, you're talking to yourself. When you're saying, I don't believe anything will ever change, you are talking to yourself and charting your course so that nothing will ever change. But yet all things are possible in God's eyes. Boy, I was in situations years ago that I thought never things would never change. I mean, it seemed like a long, long time in declaring the things of God before things started to shift and change for me. But I thank God they did. I remember years ago when we were having a very difficult time in life. Actually, we were living in Calgary at the time after losing everything we had materially. But I remember listening to tape after tape after tape of declaring the Word of God over our lives. I remember hearing voices in my head when I'd sleep at night because I listened to so many tapes and speaking those tapes back to me. And I would begin to make a declaration about my own personal life, about my own future. That I was the head and not the tail when I felt that I was just barely hanging on by the tail. I was still declaring I was the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. We need to declare what we desire for our future to be. David used the Psalms as a way of talking to himself and building up faith. Now, I want us to look at a few scriptures about some examples of people receiving what they declared. We'll start at Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe I am able to do this? He asked them a question. They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. He asked them a question. Do you think I'm able to do this? What they had to say determined whether they would be healed or not. What do you think it would have happened if they'd have said, Well, no, actually, Jesus, we've had other people pray for us, and we really don't think that when you pray for us, anything's going to happen. We really don't think that you're going to do anything either. I wonder what would have happened. You like to surmise that sometimes. What would have took place had they said no? But yet they said yes. And here were a people, they were blind, and it hadn't been heard tell of yet that anybody's eyes would be opened. So they didn't know if he'd do it or not. They hadn't seen it done. He said, Do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said yes. According to your faith, Jesus said, be it done unto you. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. In other words, we speak what we believe. We do speak what we believe. And unfortunately, when we believe negative things, we usually end up speaking them as well. And because when we speak to them, it starts off starts us in a pattern for those things to happen in our lives, for those negative things to happen in our lives. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, everybody say, she said. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She made a statement, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. For she kept saying, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall get well. That's the Williams translation. She kept saying it over and over to her. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. She kept saying it. Confession brings obsession, meaning a domination of one's thoughts or feelings by a persistent idea. She had so looked to Jesus and confessed it so many times that she began to meditate on that. It began to dominate her thoughts that if I can just reach out and touch his garment, I know I'll be healed. It became an obsession with her. So she continued to say it over and over again. Well, let's look at what Jesus said about saying. Really about having what we say in Mark 11, verse 22. Lord, help us to get a hold of your word. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now they tell us that the literal translation of that should be, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Bill? You think that we are supposed to have faith as God has faith? Well, God made us in his likeness and in his image. So we have the capacity to be able to have faith or function in the faith of God or the God kind of faith. Now, he shows us what the God kind of faith looks like. When Jesus said that, he said, have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. And then he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He's talking about the God kind of faith there. When God spoke the world to existence, he said, into the darkness he spoke light. Light came into the darkness when he spoke. That's a good example of how the God kind of faith works. It's spoken into existence. God spoke the world into existence. We read about that in the book of Hebrews. Then he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask or say when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. Them, what will you have? What you say. You see, you'll have what you say. If I say there's a terrible flu bug going around, and I know everybody is around is going to get it, and I just know I'm going to get it too. If you continue to speak that, that's what you'll have. You open the door, you're applying your faith to receive that. But if you stand against it, and declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God is flowing to me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening my mortal flesh, is causing my mortal flesh to become strong and my immune system to be strong to fight off every disease germ and every virus that would try to attack my body. If we declare that, we open the door. We're pushing through with faith, believing God for good health. Luke 7:7, therefore I did not even think myself worthy. Talking here about the centurion who went to the Lord Jesus Christ and said his servant was homesick in bed, and he came to him and asked him to come and heal him. And then he said, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word. He knew the power that was in the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. Say the word. What are you giving to Jesus to speak about? What request are you making to Jesus? What words do you want Jesus to speak about your situation? This centurion went to Jesus and he wanted Jesus to speak a word concerning his servant to be healed. What words are you giving to Jesus? What request are you making to Jesus so that he will speak over things over your life and declare things over your life? What are you saying to Jesus that you want him to declare and decree? We sow seeds by our words. Romans 10:18 says, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You might say, well, Pastor, it's great to confess, but have I any faith? How do you get faith? You know, the Bible tells us how to get faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hopefully these words that I'm speaking to you this morning is charging you with faith. I went to pray for somebody recently, and that we were talking. They sat there for a long time, and they were talking about the trouble and the medication that they had and the way they were feeling, and other people in the group as well were talking about somebody else was feeling that way, and they were looking, and they actually said, you know, I even hate to think about the future because of what's going to happen and so forth and blah, 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 blah. And they're just going on for a long time. And then I said, stop, hold it, wait. One of the things we have to do is begin to think about the future. Think about what God has for you. Begin to declare what God has for you. Begin to talk about the goodness of God. Begin to talk about how the miracle working power of God can be manifested in any time and set you free and deliver you. Begin to meditate on God's miracle working power, because all things are possible in Him. And I started talking like that, and when I stopped to take my breath for a minute, one of the other pastors that were there said, I could just feel faith come into the room when you began to speak like that. I could just sense the whole atmosphere changing. You see, your faith can grow as you hear the word of God being spoken. Life comes from our words. Now, real quickly, I want to talk about the children of Israel for a minute, when they were about to go into the land of Canaan. Originally, they were about to go into the land of Canaan, and Moses picked out 12 spies to go into the land of Canaan and to spy out that land. Now, the land of Canaan is a land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. They were told that this is the way it was. And so they sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan, and they spied out the land, and they came back. And in the land, actually, some of them seen some awesome fruit in that land. It was wonderful. And they said, indeed, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Grapes were huge. They took one bunch and two men had to carry them. And the land was flowing with the goodness of God. And God promised that they could have it. And then they came back and they gave a report. 10 of the spies that came back actually said, yes, indeed, it is a land. It is a good land, but there's giants in the land. There's huge giants in the land. They live in fortified cities. And we're as grasshoppers in their eyes. We couldn't possibly take the land. And Caleb silenced them and stopped them and said, don't lose heart. Basically, don't lose heart. We are well able to take the land. We are well able to go in and defeat the giants. God is with us. We can go in and take the land because we have His word that He's going to give us the land. Joshua as well began to declare the same thing. Don't rebel against the Lord, because the Lord said that we could have the land. We as Christians are charged to take the word of God and the ability that God has given us, and to go in and take the land. And we start by taking our ground, taking the land in our own homes. If our homes are not functioning right, we have a commission from God to declare His word over our home, over our families, to see that our families turn around, that our homes turn around, so that we can be living under an open heaven within our homes. We need to declare that over our homes continually. The blessing of God, the purposes of God. Caleb and Joshua declared that they were well able to go into the land. All the rest of Israel, the other 10 spies, said that we can't go in. We cannot go in. We can't take the land. We cannot do it. Guess what happened? The 10 spies who declared that they couldn't take the land didn't go in. We know that the Word of God tells us that because of that incident, they wandered about 40 years in the wilderness till every single individual over the age of 20 passed away. They all died in the wilderness, including those 10 spies. They never went in. But who declared that they could go in? Joshua and Caleb. Who went in? Joshua and Caleb. They made a decree. They declared the word of the Lord over the land of Canaan and over their lives. And they went in. You see, our words are powerful. It's the same giants that were in there 40 years later. The same fortified cities that were there 40 years later that the 10 spies said they couldn't take. But yet Joshua and Caleb went in and declared the goodness of God over the land that was promised to them. And they went in and took the land 40 years later. I want to read to you something about what Caleb said. I love this particular part. The children of Israel went in the land. Now he would be over 80 years old. He'd be about 85 years old, actually. The scripture tells us that he went in there. He said to Joshua, listen to it in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. Of course, Joshua being the leader. And Caleb said to Joshua, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back, listen to this, I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. How did they get that in his heart? He said, I brought word back to Moses what was in my heart. The Bible talks about this huge cluster of grapes that the spies gathered together, and it said that they took this cluster of grapes and they carried it between two men. I kind of believe that those two men were Joshua and Caleb. And I can see them going into the land, spying out the land, talking to one another, and they were saying, look at that fruit, man, that's amazing. They had just came out of the land of Egypt, and in Egypt, apparently, the grapes were not nearly as big as in the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And they were just absolutely amazed at the size of the grapes. And I'm certain that they talked about the goodness of the land and about how God was going to knock down some of the armed forces that were in the land, and that how God was going to put the fear of Israel on the people in the land of Canaan so that the Israelites could go in and take the land. I'm sure that they talked about it so much that their confession became an obsession to go into the land, because they both tore their clothes when the 10 spies said, no, we can't go in. They were so passionate about going in. Said, no, don't listen to that. Don't listen to a bad report. We can go into the land. It became an obsession with them to get in the land. They eventually got in because God, in all his goodness, provided the way. God seen that their words came to pass. Now, I want to encourage you. Begin speaking your future into existence. Begin declaring your future today, what you're going to be. Set goals like we just seen that video on. Begin to speak your future into existence. Declare and decree it over your life, over your family. Declare what's going to happen to you. Well, you might say, well, Pastor Bill, what if I begin declaring and suddenly I get hit by a car and killed? Well, you're not going to care about it then. At least you'll die in faith saying the right thing. Declare and decree your future. Begin to talk about it. Begin to talk about it and confess about it so much that it gets in your heart, like Caleb said. He said, I shared what was in my heart. Jesus said, Mark 11:23, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will happen, he will have whatever he says. Does not doubt in his heart. You can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart. If you will confess it, if you will make a choice to confess your future, if you will make a choice to confess the goodness of God in your life, in your family, in your job situation, if you'll make a choice, it'll get in your heart. And no matter what happens around you, you will be determined to go that way. Back in 1995, I was working, actually just previous to that, 1994. I was being a millwright at a fish plant. And I was doing secular work. The fish plant was closing, and I had a sense in my spirit that God was saying, it's time now to move into ministry. And there was these meetings that were taking place that I was determined to be at. I sensed that God was going to open the door through this, and I had prayed about it. I had got it in my spirit that I was going to move forward and do something that would, I was going to walk through a door of ministry. I wasn't sure where it was yet, but I was going to do that. And in other words, I wasn't going back and to be retrained into getting another job, a secular job. And the people who were in charge of the retraining of all the people who worked at this plant told me that I had to take this training, and if I didn't take it, my support would be cut off. I told them I would do it until this date. After that, I'm gone. They came to me and they said, listen, this is the plan that we have for you, and these are the things that you must do in order to continue to get your support. So what are you going to do? I said, well, this date, I'm gone. And I left it with that. And they said, well, we'll take your support out if that's what happens. So I continued to have it in my spirit that I was going to take that route. And it came to the very last day. And I can still remember I was in this class with these other people, and they were teaching us some things that were not relevant to what I wanted. Then at 10 o'clock in the morning, the instructor took me aside and said, I just got a call from the Charlottetown office, and they told me that you'll be free to leave. You can go now if you want to. He said, I'd appreciate it if you waited till noon, just so it won't make a disruption in class. And so I did, and they told me I could pursue this and continue to receive support. But I had talked about it. It got in my spirit. I had it in my heart. And there was a choice that I had to make at that time. And when I stepped out, God opened the door to make it happen for me. But it was coming out of my mouth by that time. I knew in my heart. You see, God has spoken to me years before that he was calling me to ministry. I had no idea what that looked like. He was calling me to a full-time position in ministry. But I began to speak it out. I began to lean toward it continually all the time. It took a while. But as I continued to speak it out, I was able to see God's goodness in the midst of it. Your words will chart your course. Your words are powerful. They are life and death to you. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Confession brings obsession, meaning the domination of one's thoughts or feelings by a persistent idea or image. If you continue to confess your healing, I believe you'll see your healing. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So what are you saying over your life? You might say, well, I'm going to start changing my confession. This is what I had to do in order to really get a good handle on my confession. I had to write it down. I had to write down what I'm going to say over my life. If it was healing, I need to write down what I'm going to speak over my life in the area of healing. If it was financial, I had to write down what I'm going to say, what I'm going to speak over my future concerning finances. If it's a relationship, I'm going to have to write down what it is about relationship. If it's family, I'm going to have to write down what it is about what I desire to see from my family, what I'm going to believe. You see, you might say, well, I'm not believing that right now, but I want it. Well, begin to say it, and if you speak about it enough, your confession will bring an obsession where you will be like Caleb, and you'll begin to speak out then what's really in your heart. Your heart will, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you get that in there, it will come out. And as you speak it out, you see, what you're actually doing is creating faith. You're actually yielding to the God kind of faith because you're operating according to God's principles and purposes. When you begin to speak, use your mouth to speak the words that God says about your situation. But if you just listen to this and never write it down, then it'll just float away. And you'll begin to say the same things you've always said. And you'll continue to get the same things you've always gotten. Is that what you want for your future? Is that what you want? Your choice. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Choose life. Life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Say this with me. Father, I take control over my tongue. I realize I control life and death with my tongue. in the name of Jesus, I will use my tongue to speak life, to speak life, to speak life, the life of God into my situation. My tongue will yield to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, and speak His words over my life in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for it now.